You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hey guys, it's your man, Right World 84, bringing you the most lit content in ATX. Today we're going to have the most slapping show. We're going to be talking about the newest, most fire movie starring Joe Keery. In this flick, he's playing quite the Stranger Thing. So hold on to your Beats headphones and let's talk Spree. Today I got LaWayne.
Get off my lawn.
And I got Adrian.
Hey guys, you know, before we get into this, just make sure to like and subscribe and to share on everything you possibly have. The more shares you get, the more chances you get to win this iPhone.
True that, Adrian. All right, LaWayne, give us a rundown of what Spree is all about.
Kurt Kunkel is a loser who's just trying to get the likes and follows and finally comes up with a way to get the attention he thinks he deserves. He'll become a Spree killer and live stream it. He crosses paths with rising star comedian Jesse Adams, becomes obsessed with her, and things take a tragic but inevitable turn. And that's pretty much your movie.
I really, just to get it out of the way, I love the use of the camera work here. And just to let everyone know, this is kind of a take on a found footage movie in a way, but it's utilizing, you know, Instagram feeds with like, or live feeds with iPhones or just smartphones, but also the main character played by Joe Keery, Kurt's world. He's also, while he's going on this spree, but he's like an Uber driver basically in the world. He has GoPros, you know, all around the car, and there's also CCTV footage every now and then just to show like other action that's happening beyond just the car and his smartphone. I'll just say it. I kind of liked this movie. I thought it was really interesting the way that they put this all together. And I gotta say, Joe Keery from Stranger Things, he is extremely a charismatic actor, and he does a lot of heavy lifting with a very unlikable character. And at first, you have a lot of sympathy for him, and you're just like, oh, he's just trying to get his, you know, his 15 minutes of fame or something, and you're slowly figuring out like, oh, he's a psychopath and he doesn't deserve any of our sympathy. And there's sprinkles throughout the whole movie, like with some family dynamics, which, by the way, like the movie also has kind of crazy cameos. Do you want to list some of them, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, for one, David Arquette. It's funny, we're going to review this documentary called David Arquette Is Not Dead, and man, is that for sure in this movie? I was so surprised to see him, but he's also pretty great. if you watch this, you should pick up right away that this is a satire. And this is a satire of something extremely fresh, which is this whole YouTube viral generation. The main character is essentially one of the Paul brothers, whichever one is more of a fuck up, that's the one that he is. In fact, even his dad in the movie is like the Paul brothers' dad in the sense that he's this older guy who's also trying to become a viral star and is just kind of pathetic in his ways of doing it.
That's a really good point.
This also has a cameo. Man, I cannot find this guy anywhere, but he was in Booksmart. He plays the other streamer. In the movie, his name is Brandon, but
oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know what his goddamn name is.
Was it Bobby Joshua Ovalle?
Yeah, there we go. Bobby Basecamp is the other streamer.
That's what it is. Yeah,
Bobby Basecamp plays yet another YouTuber. If you've ever seen
a more successful YouTuber.
A very, very successful YouTuber. If you've ever seen a fake prank video, in fact, they poke fun of a real life video of this guy giving money to the homeless, thinking he's going to buy booze, and then the homeless man buys a bunch of groceries for other homeless people, and it turns out that was, of course, staged. And that's the type of guy that Bobby Basecamp in the movie is. He's the kind of guy who does that type of prank. This is one of my favorite movies of this year. I love this movie.
Yeah, well, this will be fun.
Yeah, so I'm assuming then you didn't care for it too much then, Lloyd.
Well, I respect the hell out of this movie. But I will admit initially watching it, I'm like, this is like Taxi Driver meets the Joker on the set of Nerve after watching Natural Born Killers. Like, if I'm old enough that I've seen all the iterations of this. Okay.
I understood that reference.
And so for me, all of this is just fucking exhausting to spend all of your time trying to like superficially connect with total strangers, all while having no idea how to interact with other actual human beings. It's hard for me to really appreciate that, because I'm old. I don't have the patience for this, that type of live stream shit. And I also don't think I'm important enough to watch all the time. And so it was hard not to be, as I joked before, get off my lawn about this movie.
Sure. But you understand it, though. You respect it.
Oh, I get what it's doing. And I think that's, I was going to say that's an important thing. The message of this is kind of, initially I'm like, okay, so the message of this is that, you know, you're going to have these people who are going to do literally anything to get famous and so forth and so on. And they contrast this with, we haven't really talked about this. I mean, I made a passing reference to her. Sasheer Zamata as Jesse Adams, the comedian that he meets. They sort of contrast the two as you get further into the movie. And that's clearly intentional too, because you basically have talentless white guy who thinks he should be famous, and African-American comedian, female, who's just trying to be funny and get somewhere. At least that's sort of the idea. That gets a little weirder as you get near the end of it. So I get, from an objective standpoint, like as a film critic, I absolutely get this movie, and I think it makes a ton of smart choices, including casting Speary. Because like you said, you know, he's charismatic and talented, and he's charismatic and talented enough to pull off being this character that is neither of those things.
It's interesting that this dynamic that you were just bringing up, Lloyd, is that she is actually talented and she's doing things and working towards her career, whereas he seemingly has no talent. All he thinks he's supposed to do, which I guess, because I'll go on a little tangent here. I know what you're talking about, Lloyd, because I barely understand it myself with, you know, always like wanting to be online and being live and live streaming and all these things, where most of the time these people just don't have any kind of inert talent at all. And that's kind of what Joe Keery's character is portraying, is that, well, if he's just going to be online, people will inevitably just watch him just do things. And of course, he has to do the most drastic thing possible to get anything done and to actually have people watch him, which is also another funny part, is that when he does do these things, a lot of the people, because, you know, the Bobby Basecamp guy, he shows that that's fake when he's helping out the homeless people, where people are constantly thinking that what Joe Keery's character is doing is fake, which is also this just, it has this really interesting, and it's this dancing on this fine line of nihilism that I really did enjoy and like, and definitely really hard towards that nihilism towards the end. Cause it's just like, oh God, like, so, you know, you could ask like, so did anyone learn anything? But maybe not. I don't know. But Adrian, please.
I think, if anything, the wrong people learn the wrong thing, which is ultimately the the message of this movie. I think that everything that it kind of attacked, and it attacks a lot. It attacks YouTube culture. It attacks the youth today. It attacks comedians. It attacks predatory male comedians that think they can boost up female comedians. It attacks so many things that are going on today, and I felt that it all worked because this felt not to be ageist or anything like that, but it kind of felt like it was written by someone young who is going through all this stuff. It didn't feel like a bunch of old people in a room trying to write like young people. And I feel like anytime that happens, it's really, really apparent. This seems so natural. And part of that is with, we've mentioned Nimber already, but you know, I said something before we started recording, and it's that if we're going to have another young white male star, I'm glad it's Joe Keery, because he's fucking fantastic. He escapes into this character. And it's a character that's like, I'd say, pretty complex. You can get the references that go into what this character is. But he also did a couple things that kind of caught me off guard. And the movie itself went a couple directions that just totally took me off guard, including with the filmmaking. There is a really fantastic bait and switch moment in this movie. I'm not sure if maybe they use the same software as something like Searching and Unfriended for the way that this movie is shown, but it feels that way because it's all either from a cell phone or little dashboard cameras all around the car, kind of like Chronicle. It will just kind of keep jumping to different cameras in a really frantic and stylistic, but also really energetic and visually really appealing to me. I would say this is one of those movies that I would even recommend watching on like an iPad or a laptop, because I feel like it lends to the experience. It really immerses you in what's going on.
Yeah, that, going back to what I was saying a little earlier, it's almost like the evolution of the found footage movie, where this almost feels the most natural found footage movie I've seen in years, because there's always like the motivation to have a camera on him is like the biggest motivation of the character. So he always needs to have it on him or on someone. So you're never questioning as an audience member watching it that this doesn't feel natural and this doesn't make sense of why there would be like an over the shoulder shot for some reason, like looking at someone else that he's talking to. Is like, no, there's always a purpose and there's always a reason for the cameras to be on. And that, to your point, Adrian, that's, it just feels so good that it really lands it when it's coming, trying to portray this world. Whereas I haven't seen something like this in a very long time.
No, I think you guys are right. I think this is probably one of the most authentic sort of POV type movies that I've seen. Certainly it feels the most naturalistic. One of the things that's interesting about it, because there's no question what the point of the movie is, or that it's a satire. The problem isn't really even with the movie, but I think with some of the people who are going to see this movie, which is they're not going to get that it's a satire. There are going to be, right now there are already urban legends forming about guys like this. And I mean, there's going to be stories about, did you hear that guy, about that guy who was a YouTube, you know, because people who don't get this film are going to get that message out of it. That this is, they're going to be the people for whom this confirms all the terrible shit that they think about young people and the internet, right? And so that's part of what I was talking about with this movie. This is not for me, because I'm not the people in the movie. And I'm also not one of the people watching this going, oh my God, this is going to happen now, you know? And so it's sort of a weird place to be for me on this.
Kind of understand what you're saying, but I also kind of beg to differ. I don't think that even if you don't get that this is a satire and you're not familiar with what they're satirizing, I think on its own, it's still a pretty good horror comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one that I don't think it's horrific enough to be fully disturbed by. There's maybe one aspect of it that actually is based on something from real life that is pretty disturbing. But aside from that, it's a... satire aside, I think it's a pretty unique slasher.
I absolutely concur with you there. Again, I should be clear. My point is not that I don't like this movie. It's just that there are elements of it. And maybe I shouldn't be trying to talk for other old people and how they're going to perceive this. Not everybody is dumb enough to not get this movie. So, you know, yeah, I think you're right. It's on its own. It's a great slasher flick and it's certainly creative. And I suppose realistically, maybe a lot of the people that I'm concerned about probably aren't even going to see this thing anyway. So, you know,
and I want to say, actually, that's a really good segue into one last thing before we get into final thoughts, is that the writer and director, Eugene Kotyarenko, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's done about four or five other feature films, all like indie level, like micro budget kind of movies. And this seems like this is like his big break. And he was nominated at Sundance for this year as like a Next Innovator Award. I guess they have very, you know, subsects,
sure,
awards or nominations they give out. But what I think that this is going to be seen by a lot of people that are more probably like-minded as us, even on this whole network, more of like an indie scene. And I don't think this is going to have a huge widespread like kind of audience, which I think it deserves it too, because I think it's a really clever movie. It's a great little satire, and it's just a good push for even Joe Keery's career, I think, even beyond Stranger Things, because he hasn't really been in anything else. And to show that he has a little bit more acting chops, because there is one scene that is kind of, he makes it scary. Like there's a scene towards the end where he is contemplating of what to do next, and it's like he's invoking some kind of Robert De Niro, to your point, Taxi Driver, Luane, that I was getting kind of chills. It was like, wow, he's really acting the hell out of this right now. But anyway, with that, let's go into final thoughts. So, Adrian, final thoughts, please.
I think this is the smartest and funniest satire that I've seen since Sorry to Bother You from a few years back. And I also think this is like such an energetic movie and almost like Crank 2 in a way. And I think it was all within the filmmaking and the way that the camera shots are like just cutting back and forth and switching. It feels like you're moving around. And
the music, too, is fantastic.
Yeah. The soundtrack is also fantastic, like you mentioned. It all fits well. It all, for me, works. I struggle with satire sometimes because sometimes it's too cringy. Sometimes it's like this should be on SNL and your parents are gonna laugh at it, but this was consistently really funny. And I thought as a serial killer movie, as a slasher, it does some really inventive things with that too. I love this. I the more like this, please. This is the type of filmmaking that I want to continue to see. And I'm going to make sure that everybody I know checks this out, because I think they're going to like it, too. I'm going to give this 5 Junkyard Dogs out of 5.
Luane, please grace us with your last thoughts or final thoughts.
One of the things we didn't talk about a lot is that nearly everybody in this movie is an asshole, which makes it sort of interesting to watch, because they're all basically doing the same thing Joe is doing, or rather Kurt. the main character. They're all on their phones constantly all the time. Everybody, I mean, these are all people who use the Spree / Uber service. And so they're all tech savvy and they're all tech obsessed. And so it's actually sort of hard to find anybody in this movie that you want to spend the time with. And so I think it's probably a testament to Sperry's performance that you're willing to go on the ride with him, figuratively and in some cases literally in the movie. And I also want to compliment again Jesse Adams, or rather Sasheer Zamata, who plays Jesse Adams, the really the other primary lead in this movie. I'll actually get to the point now. There's a short film that I happened to catch that was part of Etheria Film Fest called Live that I think would be a kind of a good companion piece to this, because it sort of addresses some of the same issues, but from the other side. The characters in it are successful, and what it shows is what it's costing them to be successful, to constantly be getting the hits, to be able to do the thing that Kurt Kunkel wants to do. And so I think it would be a nice little companion piece to add to this. Beyond that, this movie has a point, probably several. It's not subtle about it, and that's probably okay, because it's competing with a hell of a lot of media that people consume, and they do it in nibbles and bite-sized chunks, and they've got to get a movie's worth in front of people's eyes. So why not make it in the manner that people are watching things now? I think it's a creative, smart movie. And I actually would encourage anybody who has a chance to see it to see it. I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 talentless white guys who think they deserve an audience.
That's a good segue to me then. My final thoughts. I agree with both of you guys and in some of its shortcomings, but also praising its really like great aspects. And from its cinematography, I think it's really creative and kind of ingenious the way that they're presenting it. The soundtrack is great. All the actors are fantastic. They have all the right levels, like you were saying, Wayne, of this just kind of like this LA kind of gross, just everyone extremely self-obsessed, where even Jesse Adams has that, you know, twinge about her as well, but not as much as everybody else. And this really interesting, it tries to go into more of a character study as much as it can with Joe Keery's character, Kurt, to show him kind of unraveling slowly, even though he already has this kind of like disconnect of a sociopath. But it's really interesting to see like where this ends up turning up, where by the end, it's not too crazy to like see it kind of coming, but I did like how it ends, and definitely the quote unquote aftermath, almost like an epilogue of what happens to everyone who was involved with this whole story. It kind of reminds me of, and I know that he has a lot of things wrong with himself as well, but he's one of my favorite authors, but Bret Easton Ellis, actually. This seems like this kind of new age, like, transgressionalism that he would have written in a lot of ways back in his heyday. And I'm actually kind of interested to see where this writer and director goes, and it would be cool for him to even tackle Bret Easton Ellis' book, because I bet he could do it better than he could. In the end, I think that I will give this 7 out of 10 bottles of water in a Uber car you should probably not drink.